my question was, say for example, you've been to a divine liturgy and by God's grace you've experienced something, and then you have to go to work. How can you keep your mind on that spiritual experience?
You can't focus when you're at work the same way that you focus when you're praying, right? Divine liturgy is a form of prayer, and one of the highest ones. It's divine liturgy, sacraments, and the Jesus prayer. These are the highest forms of prayer. But we have to know that God is everywhere. And I can tell you that if you do what you're supposed to be doing, God can visit you when you're doing something irrelevant. And the grace that you might receive then, it might be 100 times more than the grace you will receive during the Divine Liturgy. Not for any other reason, but because God wants to give you that gift. So you might be doing something which is irrelevant. It doesn't matter as far as your heart is in the right place. God can bless you there. We do our best to extend the prayer of the Divine Liturgy outside of the church and to extend the Jesus prayer outside of our personal time of praying. But at the end of the day, as we said in one of the previous talks, what a form of continuous prayer is to have your heart always open in front of God and to want to be seen by God at all times. If you do that, God can visit you anywhere. You can be in the supermarket, or you can be in the gym, and God can be there for you, and you can feel it more than when you're in the Divine Liturgy. And it might feel weird, but it's not. It proves that God is there for you. It proves that what you're doing is not wrong. Even if you don't understand what's right and what's wrong, God is telling you, what you're doing is not wrong. I'm there for you. So this spiritual experience that the saints are talking about here, they, as the text says, they usually start with meanings. So sometimes we might see that we understand something better, something from the gospel, or we understand something from our spiritual life better. This is like a preparation in our soul for something greater that God wants to give us. But it is the other way around as well. You might have a spiritual experience, and after that, you might understand the gospel better, or you might understand people better. And sometimes it takes years to have a better understanding of what you have experienced. It doesn't happen overnight. So the experience and the knowledge of the experience, they're two different things. But what Hierodas says here and wants to tell us is that the meanings that we might have before or after the experiences, the understandings, they cannot unite us with God. What can unite us with God? What can be united with God is not the process of our intellect, how we understand things, but is our nous. I'm not sure if the right word is intellect, but I think it's also a word in English, nous. So only our nous could be united with God and not our meanings. Meaning, when we pray, the most important thing is to put aside everything and focus on God. Of course, if we understand that one of these meanings that we might have during prayer or at some stage, it's very important and it's very strong and it's very special, you can keep a note, because you might forget about it in 5 minutes and then you will regret it. But the thoughts, they are not what unite us with God. It's our intellect that gets united with God. And that's what we have to keep clear and clean through Nipsi, and that's what we have to fill up with Jesus' prayer or any other prayer that we're practicing to be able to be united with God. So God sort of asks us to turn towards Him with our intellect, but what happens is that we sort of start to turn towards Him, and then He Himself comes down, and He is the one that basically does all the steps to come and be united with us and be one with us. And then we understand how great His love for us is. We cannot understand God with our intellect, but only with our spirit, which means that only through our experience. If we try to explain God logically, we will end up like the great heretics, like Arius. They used to say he was one of the greatest heretics ever. They used to say that he was also one of the greatest theologians of his time. But if you try to explain God logically, you do what the Protestants do, and basically you just destroy everything, because God is above our understanding. If you haven't experienced Him, you can't describe Him. But if you do experience Him, then you describe Him as if you say a story. For example, Saint Ephrem from Katunakia, he had an experience that he saw three persons walking towards him, and the middle one hugged him. This was the Holy Trinity, and the middle one was Christ. But when he was to tell you this story, you would see him crying, and you would sense how much love came out of this experience. And every time he was to remember this, he couldn't hold himself. He was emotionally destroyed, because it was too big even to remember again. But this is what it is to talk about God, the God that you know, not the God that you read or you try to think about. That's the difference there. We won't go any further. If you have any questions.
You know the saints that reached Apatheia? Is it really possible for us to reach Apatheia? And if we do, does that mean we won't really feel like we won't really have temptations, because we're just going to be with God, and so God will never leave us? Is that possible?
It is possible, but when we say that God will never leave us, this is how we experience God. It's not how God experiences us. And I will explain this. So God is always there with us. For example, they say that to have the gift of the foresight, the orasi, to be able to see the future, is the smallest gift of the Holy Spirit, believe it or not. For us it's great, because when we hear about the future, wow, this will happen. Yes, but this is the smallest gift of the Holy Spirit for the saints. The greatest one is theology, the gift of theology, which means to be able to experience God, to be able to talk about the Holy Trinity, because you have experienced the Holy Trinity. So our goal is not to have apatheia, to have diakrisi, to have all these things, the orasi. Our goal is to approach and be one with God. If you do this, you will have apatheia. It might not be 24/7. You might still be tempted here and there, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you know the connection path. You know that you turn on the switch and the light will come, meaning you know where to put your intellect and you know that God is there. So that's what matters. It doesn't matter if He will give you the specific gift. It's for Him to know what's for your benefit. And apatheia might not be for your benefit, because He might give you apatheia and then you also get pride and then you're lost. But if He was to give you something that you need, which is, for example, the love for the others, the understanding of others. It's not apatheia, but this is greater than apatheia in a way, because if you feel for the others, you will never be tempted by them. If you can understand what goes on in their hearts, you don't need apathy to love, apatheia, it's not apathy, apatheia to love them. You, what's the word for apatheia in English? So we know what we're talking about. Dispassion. All right. So you don't need dispassion to protect you, to keep you close to God, because this love that you have for the other person keeps you safe. You see someone that sins, and you won't judge this person, but you will cry. You will cry for him. This is greater than dispassion. This is greater than not being tempted yourself. That's what dispassion is. But you'll be able to pray and feel for the others. That's greater than dispassion. So don't focus on specific things. Just ask for God and His kingdom, and everything else will be given. And God gives gifts, like not just one at a time. He can give you a lot at the time. Like you have one experience with Him, and you might get gifts that, like Saint Porphyrios, when he was young, he had one spiritual experience, and this basically was so great that he got all the gifts at once. But then, we said this again before, and it's very important. He said when he was young, he had so much grace that he didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know what to do with it. It was too much. He didn't know what to do with it. Even other ascetics, they say sometimes when they experience God's love, they say to Christ, "Christ, please remove some of your grace. I will die. I can't handle more." That's how much love you can experience at a time. That you can't handle it. Your soul cannot handle more. If it was one tiny bit more, your soul will depart from your soul. That's how strong it is. But then Saint Porphyrio said that when he grew up, when he was older, he could pass on this grace, and there was not even one person on earth capable of handling it. Meaning, regardless what gift what God wants to give us, am I ready? If I'm ready, God will give me this passion, God will give me everything, but am I ready? That's the question that we have to ask. Not how to achieve a specific virtue. Because by aiming at a specific virtue, we might lose God. We have to focus on God, and then everything else and whatever we need will be given to us. That's what Nipsey talks about. Throwing away virtues, throwing away everything, gifts, everything. Just focus on God. He will give you what you need and way more, and He will not give it to you for yourself. He will give it to you for the good of the church, for everyone around you. And then this again proves that we are nothing. But if we can help others, He will give things to us. He will. If your heart is in the right place, do your prayers, find a good spiritual father, don't worry about anything. Things will come on time. And they will come on time because you're looking for something. They will come on time.
Should we avoid situations or people that disturb our peace, or is that something we need to push through?
Yes. Now it depends how much you can avoid them, because sometimes if it's work environment and you have no choice, you have to be patient until God opens another door. But, for example, there is an Australian thing that every Friday night all the co-workers, they will go out to drink. If you can avoid it, you have to avoid it, because you might be losing your peace. They might talk about things that they will interrupt you. And this is not because you don't care for these people. It's because if you lose your soul, what can you do for the others? So whatever we can do to guard our peace, we have to do it, regardless the price. But as we said, sometimes we can't avoid situations. And it would be good then if we ask God to help us be above the situation. So that's where this passion comes handy. If we can't avoid a situation, to ask God to help us not to be tempted and lose our peace from the situation that we have to deal with until we find a way out. And you might not even need a way out, because you might just start not caring about it. And again, we talked about St. Porphyria when he had this problem with loud music next door where he was liturgizing. And then he had something like a vision. He saw there was a calm water, and then a little rock fell. It created waves, and then a huge rock fell, and the previous waves had disappeared. And he realized that once he found the way to focus on God, the music was not it was not destructive anymore. So if you find your way, if you find your connection to God, everything else, it's not destructive anymore. Yeah. But of course, if you're at the stage that you can't do that, if you can avoid situations, avoid them altogether.
Can someone have a spiritual experience through the subconscious, like through a dream? Is that something that we should take seriously or not, or ignore?
We have to be careful with our dreams, only because it's very easy for the devil to trick us then. And that's why you need to have an experienced spiritual father. And if such a thing happens, you need to go to him and tell him this and this and this happened, and then leave it in God's hands. It doesn't mean that even if it's true, you have to do something. If God wants something to happen, it will happen. But we even see in the gospel that there are dreams that they are described. Like, I think it was Joseph that he had a dream to take Maria, take Panagia and the child and go away. And that's described in the gospel, so it's not something that we can just ignore. And God can visit you while you're asleep as well. There is nothing stopping God from visiting you while you're asleep. And you can have a huge spiritual experience while you're asleep. It's just that when someone did not have a previous taste of what it is to experience God, go to your spiritual father, talk to him about it, and leave it in God's hands. Don't try to, like Panagia appeared to me in a dream and I have to go and dig there and find an icon. It doesn't work like that. It might, but most likely it doesn't. So go to your spiritual father, talk about it, and leave it in God's hands. All right, we'll say a concluding prayer. And that's it for tonight. Η ευχόν των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριος Χριστέ ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν.